Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for this time, Lord, of worship, and Lord, this time of, Lord, being in your precious word. And Lord, I ask that you'll speak through me. I'm nothing without you, Lord. And Lord, may we, Lord, receive a word from you, Lord, on how you comfort us. And Lord, as we as families, Lord, need to continue to trust in you in all things. And Lord, may it be for the praise of your glory, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Encouraging the family. This is the eighth message on encouraging the family. And if you would like and hadn't heard the messages, they're on cooperbaptist.org website. If you want to listen to the messages of encouraging the family, this morning we're looking at when life hits hard. When life hits hard. Have you ever been hit hard? I have probably too many times. That may be what's the matter with me sometimes. But it being football season, I remember we were playing Winsboro, and I was actually playing outside linebacker on defense at this particular time. And I'll never forget what happened to me during a play of this game. They had ran a sweep, and the person was tackled before I could get to him. In other words, the lineman got the running back. So the play was over, but the guy that was supposed to block me didn't know it was over. At least I think he didn't. And I was just, you know, it was over. And I was not on guard, and that guy, not only did he block me, but all of a sudden he hit me with his fist up underneath my pads, up underneath my ribs, and it hurt. It hurt so bad I still remember it some 30-some years from since then. And it was a game changer for me. Whenever I was on the football field, I was ready to be hit. Okay? Even when the play may be over, I was looking around making sure someone wasn't going to hit me, especially with their fist. That guy's probably a Baptist preacher now someplace, you know it? But it was a game changer. Why I tell you this story? Some weeks ago, Brother Kenny called me on a Sunday morning and said, Brother Evans, we've had a game changer. Mama fell and broke her hip last night. And it's a, you know, and in other words, that family had something happen to that family. And he called it a game changer. So I'm quoting Brother Kenny this morning. Okay? I have to pay Brother Dan when I quote him. So hope I don't have to pay Brother Kenny. but a game changer. And to me, I thought of, my mind went to that game-changing hit that happened to me in a real-life football game. But this was real life that was hitting them hard. Game changers are life hitting you real hard as families. It could be like Brandon and Heather. Remember when they held that baby up wearing a uniform and it was the smallest soldier we ever saw just a couple of Sundays ago? That proud father. Well, when he was holding that baby, my mind went to when I went and visited in the hospital. And I said, Brandon, let's go see the baby. And Brandon said, I can't go see him right now with all the things connected to him. It was hard for him. They had a life-changing experience. They were hit hard by life, but praise God they're here this morning. Amen? Not all times does it turn out like that, but praise God. So when life hits hard, it could be pain. Not knowing where the pain's coming from. Miss Barbara experienced this recently, and running tests and having pain and not really knowing where the pain is coming from, that is being hit hard in life. It could be having a heart cath and the doctor comes in and tells Brother Moon and the family, Brother Moon's here, he told me he was only going to come to Sunday school. I just saw you. Praise the Lord. He's here. It could be the doctor saying, you need a new valve in your heart. You need open heart surgery. And Brother Moon said, well, let's get it done. Let's do it. Let's get it over with. Well, that's life hitting a family hard. It could be something not right with a baby, and they're told your baby may only live 3 years. That's when life hits hard. Or it could be a family or mother told that you have lost your baby. You have lost your grandchild. That's when life hits hard. It could be when life hits you hard that your mother has stage 4 cancer or your daddy has stage 4 cancer and only has a month or two to live. That's when life hits hard. Those are game changers in life. It could be something like, son, your mom is being airlifted right now to Rapides Hospital. Those are times when life hits hard. Game changers in life. But praise be to God, we have a God who loves us and cares for us and is ever present when life hits hard. Amen? Veterans today, you know about game-changing things in life. You know about when life hits hard. You know all about it. But we have a God who comforts us in all of our tribulation. In verses 3 and 4 in this scripture it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it great that we can call God Father? He is our perfect Father. He's our heavenly Father. And we get to call God Father. That's how much He cares for us. And blessed be the God and Father of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is called the Father of mercies. Isn't it great that His mercies are renewed continually? And He is so merciful to you and I. And He's also called the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God, the God of all comfort. Comforts us and our tribulation, our hard times in life. When life hits us hard, we have a God who comforts us. The Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. This word comfort, the root word is paraclete in the Greek, and it's the same word that we use for the Holy Spirit. It means encouraging. Someone who comes alongside for the purpose of encouragement. So God comes alongside to encourage us. But this particular word in this passage of Scripture, the same root word for the Holy Spirit, but it literally means the comfort or the encouragement that we receive from an encouraging word. Encouraging word. So God, the God of all comfort, to you and I as born again believers, God's word is what brings us comfort. What does the Holy Spirit use anyway when we're convicted of sin? When the Holy Spirit woos us and says, you need a Savior. What does the Holy Spirit use when He comforts us as our helper? The only thing He can use is God's word. So God's word brings us encouragement and comfort. So we dare not water down God's word in any way, because it's that same word that we're going to need some other day to bring us comfort. We dare not water it down, because it brings us encouragement. When we need encouragement, it comes alongside, and the Holy Spirit uses that word to comfort and ease our minds and our soul and our spiritual person. Comfort. His word is so valuable. We dare not dilute it in any way, because when life hits hard, we need God's word. And it says, again in this passage of Scripture, that He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all. Everyone say all. All our tribulation, not in just some tribulation, not in just some hard times in life, but in all the hard times. When every time life hits us hard, we can turn to God and turn to His Word in faith and receive comfort in that encouraging Word that only God can give through His Word. We read on that it says that it is because of the comfort that we receive as born-again believers, when life hits us hard, then we are able to comfort others with that same encouraging word. Hey, brother, God spoke to me in this passage of Scripture that when I was going through this, and this is what God told me. Maybe it'll encourage you. See, we read on, it says in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, our encouragement, also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. See, Paul and Silas went through very hard times. Paul went through very hard times in Asia. And, there was times that he was stoned and beaten and left for dead. And there was times when he was put in stocks and bonds. And at midnight they would sing hymns and prayer, and God delivered them. And Paul received comfort from God. Paul was suffering for sharing the gospel of Christ. And yet, this suffering that he endured, and the suffering that you and I endure, and the comfort that we receive from God, we are to share that same comfort with others who are hurting. Because those people out there who may be religious, but they know not the God of comfort because they've never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, they need you and I to share the comfort of God with them so that maybe they may turn to Jesus Christ, but we dare not water down God's Word to do so. Because it's God's Word that brings conviction, and it is God's Word that brings us encouragement and comfort. You see, this same comfort we are to share with others, you know, that we have received comfort with, we share with others. You know, there may be times that we dare not say nothing. There's nothing to say. And yet, as the Holy Spirit comes alongside, you and I may come alongside, and God may not tell us nothing to say. So we don't say nothing, but we're there. That's all God wants us to do, is just be there. There may be times when we are sharing the comfort of God that sometimes we may play. Those very stressful times in life, sometimes it's good to laugh about something. Play. My mother's grown grandchildren laying in a bed, half paralyzed. They spent the night with her, them and my sister. Bless her heart. My mother laying there, and half the night they blew up one of those gloves and they played volleyball over my mother's bed. Two of my grown children did that along with their first cousins. They take so much after their mother. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But that was a way of letting go of some stress. And my mama, I know, enjoyed every minute of it if she knew what was happening. She enjoyed it. Them playing volleyball over her bed. Sometimes you need play. And that's comfort. Sometimes we need that prayer and that encouraging word, which we ought to share all the time if we have a time to pray with someone or share the word. And that brings encouragement and comfort to someone who is hurting. So God comforts and God uses who? The pastor? Just the pastor? No. You and I. You and I to bring comfort to others. In our passage of Scripture about when life hits hard, we need to trust in God and not in ourselves when life hits us hard. In verses 8 and 9 it says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." During tribulation and troubles of life, that Paul was sharing the gospel and he was in so much trouble and constantly, and yet he even got to where he was so burdened and despaired of life. It says that this trouble that came to him that was beyond measure, could not measure it. It was above strength, that they even despaired of even of life. Have you been there? Have you been so burdened and so much in turmoil when life hits you so hard that your despair of life, it's like there's nothing else to do. It's time to die, I guess. You been there? Paul's been there. Many times people misquote 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let me flip over there. It's probably not on PowerPoint. Brother Henry may get there before I do, though. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Let's read this. It says, No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted. Everyone say temptation. And say tempted. That's all you need to say. Beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The context and even the verse it says, it's about being tempted to sin. And when we are being tempted to sin, God gives us a way out. But when life hits us hard, there are times in life that we need help. There are times in life that we can't do it on our own. We need others to encourage us. We need God to help us. We are to cast our burdens upon the Lord. That verse over in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is not talking about burdens in life. It's talking about sinning. There's times in life that you cannot carry it yourself. Sometimes we can get so down that we become clinically depressed. We need help. There are times in life that so hurt and so much burdened down when life hits us hard that we need to reach out to God and others. And when a family is under pressure, that family needs to mold together even more. Even more. You see, we need help. It says, cast your burdens upon the Lord. Paul was so down that he even despaired even of life. Even of life. You see, why? He said, we were like this because, remember, Paul said in Philippians, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I find myself in. I've learned to be content. Paul learned, those with him learned, hey, I can't do this on my own. Brother Moon taught me something. And I'll never forget it. Thank you, Brother Moon. His brother-in-law told him, the person who doctors himself doctors a fool. That's very true. That's a good statement. I'm going to remember that one. Those who try to make it in life apart from God is a fool also. Right? And when we are so burdened down, we need to reach out in God and trust in God because we can't do it ourselves. We can't do it. We need to trust in the Lord and not in ourselves. And in our passage of Scripture, as we read on, it says, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. Y'all ought to write sanctification by that verse. Because God has delivered you and I. We're saved to the uttermost. We are saved. We are sanctified. We are made right in the eyes of God by the blood of Jesus. And He will continue to deliver us. And yet He will deliver us. Amen. Heads I win, tails I win. I cannot lose. Paul said, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, is what the Apostle Paul said. See, no matter what happens, we win anyway. Brother Steve, great doctrinal study. The kingdom of God is going to win out, brother. The kingdom of God has already won out, and it will win out. I'm not saved today and lost tomorrow, folks. I'm going to persevere in the faith. I'm going to keep trusting in God and hopefully not in myself, and keep trusting Him and persevere to the end. I'm saved. I don't have to guess if I am. I don't have a hope so, but I know I will be delivered because I'm delivered now. Delivered now. And in verse 11, you also, helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Keep on praying and trusting, families. Keep praying and trusting. Oh, I'm so thankful to be part of a praying church family. The prayer chains that we have, and those who take a moment out of their busy schedules. I know you're busy, but yet you take a moment when you receive that text message or that phone call and you pray. I'm thankful for that. For those, a praying church family. You see, praying is so important. God said it was so important that He came and shed blood so that we can do it. That's pretty important, isn't it? Helping together in prayer for us. Families that pray for each other. I don't know if I've ever told you this or not. If I have, act like you've heard it for the first time. Most Sunday mornings, when we are able to ride together, when we ride together on Sunday mornings, let me say it that way, which is most Sunday mornings, I ask my wife to pray for me and to pray on the way to church. I need that. I need my wife to pray for me. You see, families that pray together, a praying family, a praying church family, and knowing that we're being lifted up in prayer is encouraging, isn't it? It brings comfort to know all these people are praying for me when life hits hard. Keep looking to the Lord and keep praying. Be faithful and persevere so that the gospel message can continue on. That the kingdom can keep moving forward because of your faithfulness and your commitment as families. Even when life hits hard, stay faithful. When my mother was in Rapides Hospital last week, one of her first cousins came and visited with us. And I remember him. I see him often now in Ellick and places, but I played with his two sons. They were twins. And we declared war on snakes in LaSalle Parish. Okay, we did a lot of things together. His two sons and myself. So I remember him as that, their father, my mama's first cousin, okay? That man came. We talked family stuff, you know, and all that kind of stuff, but he went over to my mama's bed. She couldn't talk. And he said, I want to pray with you. He's a pastor, by the way. He pastors also. And my mama knew that Kendall Price was praying. And that man prayed. I'm talking about, he had on a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, but he took hold of the horns of the altar and he prayed for my mother and for us. And I'll remember him now for that more than anything. Okay? There's times that you can be hit hard, so hard, that yes, you're praying. Yes, you're doing all the right things. You need someone else to come and pray too. That's why intercessory prayer is so important to have in a family and in a church family. It's that extra encouraging. Paul said, thank you for praying for us so that the gospel can continue on. Thank you for praying. See, keep trusting and keep praying. Remain faithful. Persevere in the faith. Because life is hard. I mean, it can hit you. You may be thinking, whoo, deer season opens Saturday. And then all of a sudden the play's over and you get hit up in the ribs with a fist. All of a sudden. Life's tough. But I know a God and you know a God who is with us through it all. And He shall deliver us. Amen. We will be delivered. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that the sufferings of this present life is not worthy to be compared to the glory that lies in store for a child of God. We thank You that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We thank You and we give You praise this morning. Lord, we still know people who are hurting and people who do not understand and people who have bad reports and good reports from doctors. But Lord, we trust in You through it all. You will deliver us. Your kingdom shall come for the praise of Your glory. Oh God, I pray for those who do not know You as a personal God, a God whom we can call Father, a God who is with us, who comes alongside us with His Word and with His presence. Oh God, I pray that You'll woo them and touch their hearts that they will come to a saving knowledge of You through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We ask it, Lord, in His name. Amen.